Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am diving in talking about strong-willed kids, obviously very specifically strong-willed picky eaters. These are what parents will typically come to me, and by the way, I have one of these. Absolutely, I have a strong-willed child. At least one. We'll see about the last one. He's still TBD, honestly. But these are the kids that parents will come to me and say things like, they're just being stubborn. They're just being difficult. They'll dig in their heels. They will not budge. They won't try anything. They're just always feeling like they're obstinate. This episode is for you. We don't all have kids like this. And in fact, after having three kids of my own, being around literally probably hundreds of kids in person, helping over 10,000 families reverse picky eating, getting to hear their stories, their kids' personalities. Every kid is truly different. And I actually vividly remember texting my sister-in-law and I said, do you feel like all your kids are stubborn or strong-willed? Like, are all your kids this way or is it just one of your kids? Like, are all kids strong-willed? Like, I can't imagine having a kid that's not strong-willed. This is when my son was maybe 3 or 4 and my daughter was little, and she laughed and she was like, LOL, I feel like every parent would describe their kids as strong-willed. That is not actually the case. Not only for me and just knowing my kids now directly, like the experience that I have with them, not every child of mine is strong-willed, but also knowing other families intimately and knowing their children and how they parent and how their kids respond to them, that it is not in fact the case that every kid is strong-willed, not every kid is defiant, not every kid has that edge to them. And I always joke that I will love it one day. I know that I have this quality, by the way. So he comes by it honestly. I have this quality. My husband has this quality. We're very stubborn. We're very strong-willed. We're very determined people. And it's one of my favorite qualities about myself. It's actually one of my favorite qualities in my child as well. And I know that it will ultimately really serve him. But now as his parent, sometimes I just want to be like, today, can we just get a little breather? Can we just be flexible? Can we just be obedient? Can we just have some blind obedience even? Like, I just tell you what to do and there doesn't have to be a reason behind it and you just do it. Like, can we just have that for today? Right? And one of my kids is like this more often than not all the time, but still, just the point to be made that there is definitely a wide variety in temperament. And whether you have just one child, maybe you don't have any kids. I know some of you listen to the podcast and are preparing for children one day, or you have a baby and you're not quite sure where they're going to land on this temperament topic. But some of you might only have one child, might just have a second one, or even multiple children. And those of you who are listening who have multiple children know that this is true, right? That you have children who have different temperaments, different personalities, and this all is playing a role in, of course, their eating, but also just in parenting in general. And this is why, you know, I wanted to be this parent that had these very clear boundaries for each child. They're all the same. And in reality, I parent each one of my children very differently because they have different temperaments. They have different capacities. They have different frustration tolerance levels. They have different everything. They're experiencing the world very differently. And so for some children, I need to explain things a little more. For some children, I need to make things more fun. For some children, I need to, you know, take the lead. For some children, I need to let them lead. There's just different ways of parenting for different children. All that to say, if you have a child who you feel like is stubborn, defiant, strong-willed, determined, you know, even devoted to things, whatever the way that you want to communicate that, I think that today's episode is going to be really helpful for you. Because I want you to know, sometimes parents will come to me and they'll say, well, my kid's not picky, they're just being stubborn. And what I want you to hear is picky eating actually doesn't have an official set of parameters. So it's kind of like this culmination. And if you've taken one of my trainings in the past, you know, I kind of talk through these 10 different criteria that makes up a quote unquote picky eater, but there's no official criteria. That is my criteria that I've used after working with thousands of families in coming up with kind of our own definition. Some parents will call their kid picky if they just decided today not to eat something, but normally they eat anything. They'll be like, ugh, they're being picky. Other parents are like, my kid eats 3 foods and it has to be this exact brand. Otherwise they won't eat. And they also call their kids picky. So there's a really wide spectrum of what picky eating is. All that to say is that you know, when parents say, well, they're not picky, they're just stubborn. Some parents will say, oh, they're so stubborn that they're just so picky. And so it just kind of depends on your lens of how you see the world, how you articulate things, your perspective on your children, what's included, what's not included. And all this to say is that if the end result is they're not eating a variety of foods, ultimately that equals picky eater in my scope of things, which means not necessarily that I would label your kid as a picky eater, but I would say, hey, there are ways that we can get them to eat a higher variety of foods. And regardless of why, and this is the most important part. If I could scream this from the rooftops, which trust me, I've tried, like this is what I wish every parent could know, is that picky eating is not the problem, that everyone wants to label it as the problem. They don't want to, you know, we don't want to come to this conclusion of, oh, it's picky eating. It's not picky eating. Is it? Give me the criteria, make it specific. How do I get my kid labeled this way? Or how do I label them or not label them, right? Picky eating isn't the problem. There's something underneath causing the picky eating behavior. So it's really just a symptom of something else that's going on. And sometimes that is stubbornness. Sometimes that is defiance. Sometimes that is that real particular like way of being, right? That's our more strong-willed, determined children. And so when they have those really strong personality types that tend to butt heads with you, which by the way, always tends to be your child who's most like you, right? You know, the child who is the most defiant is going to be labeled as stubborn, difficult, all these things, and ultimately potentially picky if it comes out in that direction, right? It can come out in multiple different directions, multiple different arenas of their life. When it comes out towards food, it means they're not eating a variety of food because of the power struggles or their strong determination, their desires, what they want, how they think mealtime should go, what they're picturing in their head versus what is actually in front of them. And then they are, like if the reality is that they're not eating a variety of foods, no matter what the reason, that says to us, okay, there's some pickiness happening here. And then we get to figure out what the reason is. And sometimes that reason is temperament, but that doesn't mean your kid is too far gone. It doesn't mean your kid is too stubborn, too difficult, too determined, too, you know, focused, any of those things. They are not too far gone to be helped. But it is a really important connection of saying, okay, this picky eating isn't about the food. It's about the power. It's about the control. It's about the autonomy that they're desiring and what I'm actually setting up for them and how I can work with them, with their brain and not against them. Listen, I understand. I am on the front lines of understanding what it feels like for me to feel like I am the parent, you are the child. When I tell you to do something, I just want you to do it, right? Like that would be the most pleasant way. I have more experience, I have more wisdom, I know what's right for you, I know what's wrong for you, and I just want to come in and do it my way or the highway. There's that desire in me. Maybe it's not in you, but that's in me. I have this desire. I want to be respected. I want them to obey. I want them to listen, right? Like there's this internal war that is happening in me of they should eat it because I told them to eat it, right? When in reality, because sometimes, you know, what I'm about to explain here of like coming alongside them, being their teammate, working with their brain, sometimes that feels like defeat. And all that really is ego and pride and our kind of more like authoritarian way of viewing things, when actually we want to be much more authoritative in how we work with them. We are still the leaders. We are still in charge. But our ego, our pride is not bruised when they do not do what we tell them to do just because we told them to do it. Instead, we want to study our children, learn who they are, what are they motivated by, and how can we get on the same team as them to lead them to where we want them to go, and then ultimately decide what is in our control and what isn't in our control. So with these very strong-willed kids, it's important to set up the structure and to have the boundaries in place to set them up for success while also releasing and detaching from the outcome that bruises us, that makes us feel like we're not in control, because ultimately, we're not in control. This is a whole separate human who's in charge of learning their own bodily cues, their own way that their body responds to different food. They're ultimately responsible at the end of the day for eating, choosing what to eat, how much of that food they eat. And then one day we'll be fully responsible for buying food, prepping food, preparing food, eating food, storing food, all of those things. So it starts now, even though that sounds really far away, it's actually really not. It really does start with those skills today. And ultimately, subconsciously, we need to communicate maybe even more to these very strong-willed children that we trust them to be the authority over their body. While they're little, we get to kind of build the support system, the scaffolding, we get to put the bumpers up, right? Like, we are creating the fence around the yard for where they can play, what they can decide and what they can't decide. They're not in charge of everything, but we do need to start separating. There are some things that our children can be in charge of and have authority over. And in the eating realm, that comes out really clearly, that if we are not doing that well, which is ultimately our job, right? If you are in a leadership position at all, which I would argue as mothers, you are, also in any sort of professional work setting, you've either worked under a boss or you've been a boss or you've managed people, even managed, you know, relations with your customers or whatever it might be, you know, as the leader, the answer to a good leader is not micromanaging. The answer to being a good leader is not sitting there telling people exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Press this button, now click here, now press this button. That is not a good leader. A leader empowers the person they are leading to make their own good decisions within the realm and the scope of what is needed to have the right outcome, right? But you empower them with the information, you empower them with the skills, you empower them with the practice, you empower them even when they get it wrong, you encourage them when they do it right. All of these things to encourage and set up the environment for success. And I would argue even more so for these strong-willed children, that they need the right environment to thrive, to give them that autonomy. Which also means if you have a child who's strong-willed, stubborn, difficult, whatever you want to call them, who you feel like they just will not budge. Like you say, take three more bites and they just simply will not do it. They'll double down, they'll growl, they'll eat the food, but they'll choke it down. They'll complain the whole time. They'll, you know, and picky eating's getting worse and worse and worse. They're more sensitive to pressure at the table. They feel their environment way more than other kids do. They're in tune with that. And so pressure is going to equal resistance. So the more that we push them, the more they're going to pull away. Right? And so that defiant behavior actually tells us, oh, the way to get on my child's side and work with them is actually to release the pressure, to back off pressuring them. No more three more bites, no more demanding that they eat, no more making them sit at the table until they finish, no more making them eat the same meal and finish that meal before they get a new meal, no more, you know, bribing them with dessert or making them stay at the table, whatever those situations might be at your table. All of that pressure is actually making it worse. It's you versus them. And here's the reality of it. Your stakes are way higher because you're emotionally invested. You're worried about something that you cannot control. And so when you are worrying about something you cannot control and they have the control, they know it. And this is the perfect time for them to dig in their heels. This is the perfect time for them to be ultimately and completely defiant. And maybe it's not that bad yet, but it will be over time because this is just going to grow and grow and grow and grow and swirl and swirl and swirl. Ask me how I know, not only with my own kids, but also with working with thousands of parents. So what we need to actually do is remember what we're in control of and what we're not. And that means we need to follow that division of responsibility I've talked about, which essentially means you get to decide what goes on the plate, when you're eating and where, and they decide if they eat that food and how much. And then we have to release and detach. Now, that doesn't mean that's our only approach, is just sit back, do nothing, play it cool, and hope that things work out. There are ways to actually work with them, which includes like different language swaps, increasing their frustration tolerance, making sure to make them feel safe around the table. And specifically with strong-willed kids, I want to give you a few tactical tips to start today. So first and foremost is allowing them to have choice and autonomy in things that you are okay with them having choice and autonomy over. Do not give them a choice and then be unhappy with the choice that they decide, right? So something like that works well for us is, where do you want to sit? Where do you want to eat? So sometimes I'll say, do you want to have a picnic outside or should we sit inside? Sometimes I'll let them choose their seat, right? So not sometimes, all the time they get to choose their seat. What is it that they have autonomy over that you are okay with whatever decision they make, even if it's something to the effect of, do you want strawberry yogurt or do you want blueberry yogurt or whatever that might be in the morning? So some sort of choice that they can have where they can have autonomy. I would also recommend increasing their autonomy, like ways that they can express their autonomy throughout the day away from food. So giving them more control in other areas of their life. If you think about what it's like to be a child, especially a toddler or a small child, they have no autonomy over where they go, when they do it, when they go to sleep, when they wake up, when they go, you know, to daycare or school, what friends they see, where they sit in the car. Like, they have no autonomy in their life. So how can you even let them have more autonomy outside of eating so that eating doesn't become the area where this all gets channeled because they've realized they have more control? So if you kind of think about it, like if they have a deposit box of 10 of 10 pieces of things they need to control in a day. How can we get those 10 coins of control out in other areas of their life so that when it comes to eating, they're spent, their bank account's at zero, right? Like they've done all the autonomy tasks of kind of like, maybe even we're thinking about this in reverse, coming up with this in real time, but maybe it's they need 10 coins of autonomy to fill up their bank of autonomy, right? And so they're looking for different areas to collect those autonomy moments and put it in their bank. And so how do we get them to have all 10 in their bank? And we don't know the number, right? But how do we get them all filled up so by the time mealtime comes around, they're spent. They don't need to do anymore because they're all filled up. They feel like they have more control in their world, so they don't have to get it from food, if that makes sense. The next thing that I'd recommend for these really strong-willed children is typically the more like narration and information that you give them, the better versus direction. So instead of saying, take 3 more bites, finish your plate, eat this, don't eat that, you're not hungry, telling them how they feel, more curiosity questions, more narration of what you're experiencing, narration of what you're putting on the food or on the plate, telling them, you know, how crunchy the different carrots are or what the experience of the food is, to really engage in the food without telling, demanding, or making demands on their nervous system is really important for these strong-willed kids. And the next thing that I'll say that works really well for some of these strong-willed children is getting them in the kitchen. The more control they have over the kitchen, the preparation, the plating, the help that they get to have, usually they like to do something a little outside their age range, a little more dangerous, a little more risky, a little more intensive, where they get to learn a new skill and put it into practice. The more that they get to do that, typically we see that that really satisfies a need in them to feel like they're part of the family, feel like they're contributing, feeling like they're using that part of their brain to learn, to develop new skills. And then when they come to the table, they feel a sense of pride in the thing that they helped create. And this is particularly helpful for those strong-willed picky eaters. So those are some of the things that you can start with today. Okay, so if you're wondering how you can take away pressure but still get them to eat it, you do not need more pressure. You just need a different strategy. If you're curious on how you can work with your kid's brain, how you can understand what's actually causing the picky eating behavior, I have an entire training really truly focused in on figuring out what the root causes are for picky eating. I actually go over them in the training. We talk through a few really key examples that are typically happening in most homes that I see and how to stop those behaviors for good around picky eating. And it is just one of the most informative trainings out there in the scope of what is picky eating, why is it happening, and how can we reverse it for good? So if you want to take that training, you can actually click below and find an upcoming time and watch it completely for free. I literally walk you through my 4-step process in reversing picky eating. We go deep in on the root causes of picky eating, and we talk all about what we talked about today. So if you think that you'd find that helpful, go ahead and click the link below and save your spot, and I hope to see you there. Otherwise, I will catch you next week on the podcast. See you then. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.